I finish with the kitchen. I'm about to pass through and head back up to my room when my eyes land on the cellar door. I know I should go down there too, to complete my final tour of this place. It's the only room that'll still be full. The racks of Thorn's Blood Apple Sour were sold by special arrangement along with the house. But it's the one room in the manor I hate, always have. I turn and head back upstairs. There's only one box left in my room, sitting like a little lost boat in the middle of the window seat. It holds all my art supplies and sketchbooks. I go to pick it up, glancing out of the window as I do. My room looks out over the Blood Apple Orchard, the source of Thorn's Blood Apple Sour, and all the money it took to build this place. In the center of it stands the peaked roof of the old pavilion, and seeing it reminds me that I still have one last important task to do before I leave. Beyond the orchard, I can see the flowing form of the river as it rushes to meet Burden Bridge, which sits right at the point where the river tumbles into a 60-foot waterfall. There's someone on the bridge. Burden Bridge is on our land. Ours for the next few hours, at least. So it's not some dog walker admiring the view. My skin prickles in warning, like it always does when I think I see someone out there. Is it? My breath catches, and I lean closer to the window. But it's not who I think it is, only Uncle Ty. He's leaning against the waist-high guardrail that's attached to the low stone wall of the bridge, just staring out into the rising mist. Propping the box on my hip, I give a stoic nod to my room, then head downstairs and outside to where Bessie waits. Bessie is my old-as-dirt Nissan, once green but now a faded color I can only call sludge. The back seat is already packed to the ceiling, so I put this last box on the front passenger seat, then crunch my way down the gravel path to the orchard. I stand on a stepladder in the pavilion, paint roller in hand. I've taken off my ever-present black gloves for this, hard to paint with them on, and the last throes of winter stealing in through the windows make the scars on my palms ache. I flex them out, one hand, then the other. The pink crisscross lines brighten to red as I do, but there's no chance of them tearing open now. A year is plenty long enough for a body to knit itself whole. The wall facing me is covered in painted images, all bleeding together like a sleeve of tattoos. They are the bad memories of the crash that changed everything and what came after. The ones Dr. Ehrenfeld suggested I write in a journal, as if that would scratch them out of my head somehow. But I've never been much of a writer. I take after Uncle Ty that way. Art is our thing. So I painted my memories on the walls inside the pavilion, because who the hell would ever see it but me? Except now some rando has bought my home, and I don't want a stranger stumbling across this little slice of my heart matter. I carried a can of black paint down here yesterday, meaning to cover over the mural, but I still wasn't ready to let go. Now I have no choice. For a second, I think I hear something. A voice? I peer through the window, even though it's pointless. The orchard is dense, 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 grown wild as it raged against the disease that took hold last year. I still smell the blood apples, even though the branches are black and bare-knuckled now. The blight hit at the same time as a freak cold snap last May, leaving the trees covered in perfect ghost apples, the little icy cases showing where the fruit had once been. A shout rings out from somewhere nearby, sharp and curse-shaped, though I can't make out the words.